that you will be talking to us. You will be talking from the throne. In Jesus' name we pray.
Let's put our hand together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Choir, please. Before we go into the message, the choir will minister to us. Please, you as well, the congregation can join.
Just before we sing the song, if it's possible, can we ask the projection of the promise of the week to be displayed, Brother Ishmael? And as a church, let's just boldly read out this message, because when I was meditating on the song Pastor Francis asked us to sing, it's definitely a reminder that we need to be reminded who God really is. And so I want to invite you just to, as loud as you possibly can, read the promise of the week for yourself. Things are going to happen. Amen. I will make everything right again for my people. Who are we talking about here? Who is the person speaking to us in this message? Can I hear you? God is Yahweh, and He's the miracle working God. Amen. So as we minister this song, I want you to remember who your God is. This is the God you serve. A miracle working God, a destiny changer, a powerful healer. Whatever you're looking up unto God for, know that He has heard your cry today. Amen.
Miracle worker, miracle worker, come and do a miracle today. Come and do a miracle today. Miracle worker, you are a miracle worker. Come and do a miracle today. Come and do a miracle today. Destiny changer, you are a destiny changer. Come and change my destiny today. Come and change my destiny today. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. You're a miracle working God. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Oh, your name is Yahweh. You're a miracle working God. Your name is Yahweh.
Powerful healer. worker. You are a miracle worker. Come, Lord, do a miracle. Jesus,
come and do a miracle. A miracle today.
Miracle worker.
Miracle worker.
Oh, you are.
You are a miracle worker.
Come and do,
Lord. Come and do.
Come, Lord.
A miracle today.
Oh, come, Lord.
Come and do a miracle. A miracle today.
You're the powerful healer.
Powerful healer.
Jesus.
You are the powerful healer.
Yes, you are. Come and heal. So powerful. So powerful today. Let us see your power flow.
Let us see your power flow.
That God will perfect all that concerns you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we bless your name. We glorify you, Lord. You are the destiny changer. We honor you and adore you. Father, we pray all your promises for our life shall be fulfilled in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Wherever we have derailed, Almighty God, you will bring us back in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that has been taken away from us shall be restored in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, everlasting Father. As we go into your word, Father, come and speak your word to us in Jesus' name. For in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Today we'll be talking about destiny. Hallelujah. Two men went to meet a prophet. And these two men, they want to know what God has in store for them. So both of them, two young men, they are not just old men, young men. Let me call them boys, two boys now. And when they got to the prophet said that you, brother A, God has destined that you are going to be extremely rich. And for you, brother B, the plan of God is different from what I'm seeing. Because you will not be rich. Brother B was not happy. Brother A was happy. When Brother B got home, he knelt down. He prayed unto God, Father, why have you made my destiny in this way? I don't want to be poor. He began to pray. While Brother A went away and said, yes, God has destined that I'm going to be rich. He began to rest, began to sleep. He didn't do anything. After many years, the two of them, Brother B, become very richer. Very, very rich. While Brother A is still waiting for that prophecy that was prophesied to him. He's waiting for that promise. What am I saying here is that if you fold your arms, whatever God has in store for us can fly by past. You may not see it. Because Brother A went back to sleep. He didn't prepare for anything because he thought destiny cannot be changed. Sometimes, if you allow enemy to take over, you can change it yourself. And I believe each and every one of us here have destiny to fulfill. Hallelujah. Because God himself always has plans for our life. As long as we continue to walk in the right path, in the righteousness of his namesake, he will always fulfill that plan that he has for us. But whenever we deviate, whenever we move away, chances are there. It's either we delay it or we never make it happen. That will never be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. So when the plan of God for you change, when the plan of God for your life change, what it means is that you have moved away from that path that God wants you to be. And this will happen when that plan change. It will happen when you fall into sin. Or you form habit of displeasing God. You form habit of displeasing God. When that happens, that plan may never come to fulfillment. When you seek satisfaction from somewhere else rather than God, that plan may never happen. When you put any other thing before Christ, that plan may never come to fulfillment. The only hope is in Christ. Because he died for our sin and he redeemed us. So whenever we walk in repentance, he will always give us the second chance. Hallelujah. Amen. There is hope. And that hope is the beauty of Christ's redemption. That is, when we walk in repentance, he gives us the second chance, I have said. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and will forgive all our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. He will bring us back to wherever we have derailed. The key to getting started on path towards God's destiny for your life is you ask for God to direct your path. And when you are asking for God to direct your path, you ask for the Holy Spirit to keep you going that path. Psalm 119 verse 35 says, direct me in the path of your command, for there I find delight. So we need to realize that obedience to God's path will keep our destiny fulfilled. In the scripture, we have many examples that people that they know their destination. They know where they are going, but they never get there. Moses was to go to the promised land. Along the way, he didn't reach the promised land. What about Samson? Samson didn't know who he was. He did not understand the significance of his existence or the implication of his life. He was not aware of the concentration that brought him forth. He squandered that opportunity. He squandered his destiny in a hurry. That will never be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. So the only way to fulfill our destiny is through obedience to the command of God. There are two great days in a person's life. The day you were born and the day you were born again. The day you discover yourself. The day you recognize that, yes, Jesus Christ is the Lord. It's another special day in our life. And I pray that God will continue to be with us in the mighty name of Jesus. For the Friday class that are here, shout hallelujah. Friday children, are you here? You are sitting with your parents. Shout hallelujah. God bless you. I want you to follow me in what we are going to be discussing now, because this is part of what you are learning in the class. I would like to talk about David today. Who is David? Who is David? Not David here. David in the Bible. Who? Yes, I'm listening. You said? Apple of God's eyes. Somebody said, King of Israel. God bless you. Friday's children, I'll be calling you. Okay? Be at a lot. Okay? Apple of God's eye. Hallelujah. What made David to fulfill his destiny as a great king was not his resources or his relative, but his relationship with God. You want to fulfill the destiny that God has for you. You need to have relationship with who? Not with me. With God. Hallelujah. So let's quickly go into the scripture and read the story about David. Nidhi, you are going to read for us. We are reading from 1 Samuel. We'll be reading, that is 1 Samuel 16, verse 1 to 13. The Friday's children is one of the Friday's children will be reading for us. Go ahead.
Now, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was, when they came, that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah.
In this scripture that we just read, irrespective of the odd, David fulfilled his destiny. Is that right? Hallelujah. There are things I want us to look at in this scripture we just read. Number one thing is that if you see from the verse 1, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Samuel keep mourning Saul. He has forgotten the other thing. He was just mourning. He was not happy. He was sad. But God reminded him, how long will you continue to do this? Then God gave him an assignment of what he's going to do. And in this assignment involved, let me call it sacrifice or feast. Invitation is there in verse 3. There's an invitation. God instructed Samuel, you need to invite somebody specially. When you invite that person, I will show you what you are going to do. That is one part. And if we jump to verse 5 also, that invitation was given out. That invitation was extended to Jesse's family. And when we move on, there are impressive lineup of people. Because Samuel have to anoint the next king. Even though the present king is still reigning. Today, in today's world, they will call it coup d'etat. That you are trying to change the government when the government is still reigning. But in God's kingdom, it's not like that. God can choose you. God can choose you even before your boss. You begin to be like a boss. When God has purpose for you, and that purpose will always be fulfilled, irrespective of whatever the circumstances. The assignment of Samuel is to choose the next king, to anoint the next king. And from this lineup, the first one is Eliab. That is, read verse 6, sister. Verse 6.
So it was, when they came, that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him.
You see, thank you. Now, when Eliab came out, being the eldest, within Samuel's mind, oh, this must be, there's a problem there. And what is that problem? Samuel was looking at the wrong person. Eliab, not David. He was looking at wrong place. Instead of looking at this side, he's looking at this side. Verse 7.
But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused
him. Thank you.
Him.
God was telling him, this, don't look at his appearance. Many people you see today, you look at them, oh, this is anointed man of God. But behind the scenes, so many things are happening. God is telling you, don't look at appearance of people. Don't look at what you are seeing physically. Just like the message that was given here by Brother Cloudy sometimes back, when we have double face. A lot of us have double faces. We are one thing in the church and one thing at home. God is saying, don't look at that place. That is not the right person. So the problem is that Samuel was looking at the wrong person. And What is the principle here? The Lord look at the heart, not the physical presence. And looking at the heart means God prioritizes the heart first. What is going on within your mind? As I speak now, I don't know what is going on within your mind. Your heart is the one supplying your mind, or your mind is the one supplying. The brain is working. God is not looking at anything else but the heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it it spring the issue of life. Which means that is for physical and spiritual. Whatever you do, come from your heart. If you are wicked, it's coming from your heart. If you are good, it's coming from your heart. People may not understand you. Merely looking at you, they may not understand you. And that's exactly what Samuel was doing. And here, God see the portrayal of the heart. He gave that instruction. He said, but the Lord look at the heart. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 17.
For I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now, with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you.
I know also, my God, that you test the heart. Have pleasure in uprightness. Brethren, what is your heart telling you? What is your mind telling you? Don't look at somebody physically and say, oh, no. This must be. That must be. God is looking at the heart. And the perception here is, look not to his countenance. Don't look at his expression. Don't look at his expression. Maybe when Eli was coming out, he might have appeared very gentle. He might have appeared very gentle. But, and that is what Samuel has seen. But God is not seeing that. God see beyond that. As you are sitting down here, you are looking at me. God see beyond what I'm seeing in you. And whatever you are seeing in me, God also see beyond that. The question is it Eli? Samuel thought in his mind, definitely it must be. But the answer is no way. Not Eli. And in chapter 17 of that same scripture, that's 1 Samuel. We get a view of his character in chapter 17, verse 28.
Now, Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here?
Why did you come down here? Yes.
And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.
Now, Friday's class children, who is he condemning here? Who is Eliab condemning? Quickly. David, God bless you. So we could see here that Eliab, he was negative and purpose towards his brother David. He was so negative about him. He didn't give him chance. He was querying him. Why did you come here? And with whom have you left those sheep in the wilderness? Character is not revealed by how you treat those above you. But it reveals how you treat your subordinates, those that are coming up, that are coming below you. That is when your real character can be assessed. Still talking about the lineup. Who was the next one? As per the scripture, Friday class children. Who? Abinadab. And what was the answer? Speak. We want to go home. No way. Friday children, class, can you shout hallelujah? We are putting you among the, we are on holiday, not just to come and sleep here. We want to engage you this time. Hallelujah. I told you I'm going to be asking you questions. So, who is next after that? Who? After Abinadab, who? Shammah. Was he the right person? No, he wasn't the right person. And what happened after that? Yes? We are doing the message together. What happened after that? Seven line up. Was there anyone selected among them? Was there anyone choosing? No. Now let me ask you a mathematics question. How many sons did Jesse have? Eight. Rajoji, I'm talking to Friday class. Thank you, brother. Friday children, please be at alert. Eight. And the question now is, seven have passed. No one of them. You know what Samuel said? Hey, hello, Mr. Jesse. What is going on? Are these all your children? Right? And what was the answer? Verse 11.
And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here.
I pray that where your glory will shine, wherever you are, they will not sit until that glory is fulfilled in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. He said, we will not sit until what? Until David comes. Hallelujah. I saw David smiling. God bless you. You see, David was a forgotten son. He was not invited to that feast. The invitation that God told Samuel, invite Jesse, in verse 3. And in verse 5, we discover that Samuel actually giving the invitation to who? Let's go back to verse 5. You read it quickly, sister. Verse 5.
And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice.
He called them Jesse and his son and invited them to the sacrifice. Sacrifice go with feast. There will be merriment after that. There will be enjoyment after that. This boy David was forgotten. He was forgotten. So see the way God has chosen David. It was a different way that God has chosen him. We can't compare that. God is looking at heart. When you read on your own, we are not reading it now, verses to 10, you will understand what I'm talking about. The question is to you now, how do you make your choice? When you are making choices, how do you choose? Are they in God's will or your own desire? This is the question you begin to ask yourself. Are they in the framework of his word or in your preference? Consider how Jesus made choices. How Jesus made choices. Who can remind me how Jesus chose his disciple? Yes, quickly, Friday's children. How Jesus chose them? Yeah? He chose his disciple when they were at their business. What is their business? Fishing. The choice of David was determined by the state of David's heart. David was nurtured by God. If you have seen a shepherd, in no man here have seen them when the goat are going, mostly the girls. I think I used to see only the girls doing it here. They are always lonely because it can be only a single person having about 200 sheep or even cattle. They are always lonely for those that do shepherd work. They are not with crowd. Maybe for safety these days, 2-3 people might be there. But in my home country, you see a single small boy having more than 200 cows with just only one stick. And they will go into the jungle. They will direct these cows. It's only a lonely something. You will be alone. You have nobody to talk to. David has nobody to talk to. The invitation was not extended to him. But even with that, God still sees his heart. Sam could only come from someone who knew God intimately. The psalm that we are reading today. So when God saw David, he saw his heart. If God is looking at you today, what will he say about you? Hallelujah. Proverbs 23:19 says, "Listen, my son, and be wise. Keep your heart on the right path." David's heart was on the right path. Aspect of David's call and fulfillment of his destiny. Now let's look how that call is. This is a call from an unimportant angle. The least and the youngest of eight cannot be say he will be the king. The examples are there today. King Charles of UK, of United Kingdom. The first child, the first son, is the next to the throne. Now they also know who is next to the throne. So in many places where we have this kind of rulership, they know who and who is next. And the first son is always considered. And that is one of the reasons when Samuel saw David and said, definitely, this must be the person. So in David's time, the oldest son was automatically the family's head and chief heir to the throne. The eighth son would never be considered. But David was overlooked by Jesse himself, even with Saul King also. He wasn't invited to that feast, as I said earlier on. He was a forgotten child. His own father forgot him. Because the invitation is that you come with your sons. He should have sent to him that, please come over. But because he has been written off, and God has destiny for him, that destiny must be fulfilled. He was nobody. Nobody noticed him except God. God is watching you. If you are thinking that nobody know you, that people don't like you, people don't do this, don't think of evil. Just believe that God knows you. Don't feel inferior. Believe that God Almighty knows you. Believe that God Almighty knows your importance. David was nobody. He was forgotten. Like I said, sometimes we may feel that we are being sidelined. Put your mind at God, that God never sidelines you. Amen? The call of God will always come when you are busy. When you are not even expecting. When you are least expected, the call of God will come. God usually calls busy people. We have an example. Elisha was plowing when he was called. You want to know that story? You go to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 20. Because of our time, we will not go into that. When he was called, he was plowing. God can call you as you are sitting down here. He can speak to you. Even when you are sleeping, he can speak to you. Like I said, the disciples, when they were called, they were running their fishing business. And Jesus called them to fulfill the destiny that God has for them. So, David's regular job was keeping the sheep. And that job that he was doing, the lower position to that is slave. The lower position to that position of David, keeping the sheep as a shepherd, is the only position that is beneath that is slave. You will never be slave in Jesus' name. So, but David didn't look at it. He was so faithful to God. They knew where to find him. His father knew where to find him, but still, he was not invited. So, if we are faithful in little things, God will see your heart, and you will be discovered. And that position that you are thinking you cannot attain, you will attain it in Jesus' name. Sometimes it may not be your qualification, but because God sees your heart, He will lift you up and you will fulfill the promise that He has for you in the mighty name of Jesus. In the scripture, we have people that have been called that refuse. That rich man, when that young ruler, the young rich ruler, when Jesus asked him to follow him, what happened? He went away. He went away. But those that are fishing, they abandoned their fishing boat and they follow Jesus. At times, the call may come when you are not even unaware. You are not aware that they want to call you or God needs you. You may not know. When brother was coordinating here, he said that before I knew you, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. That means when God has assignment for you, He has already called you. He's already called you. Your call may be when you are not even aware. But the circumstances will bring you to the path that God assignment that He has for you. Amen? Again, if you are hunger for the word of God, you'll be called. David's hunger for God, the way other people hunger for food and water. He said in Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." I was in a birthday invitation a few days back, and we sang a song. One of the children here selected that song. "As deer panting for the stream of water." You know that song? I can't remember the song. Ah, la, 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 la. I hope you get the song. If you don't get it, see me after the service. And this song is coming from Psalm 42, verse 1 to 2. "As deer pant for stream of water, so my soul pant for you, my God. My soul thirsty for God, for the living God." Hallelujah. So, when your soul is hunger for God, God will definitely give you assignment because He sees your heart. And that destiny that He has for you will be fulfilled in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. David said in Psalm 63, verse 1, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." David is always seeking after God. No wonder Samuel said, "We will not do what? We will not sit." God will make you a special person in the mighty name of Jesus. That they will say, "He has not come. He has not even talked. He has not spoken. We want to hear from Him." You know, there are some people that if a meeting is going on, everybody wants to hear from them. They are so important that people want to know, they want to hear from Him what He's going to say. And we have the opposite. That people will be saying, "Just say what you want to say and go." When God makes you an important person, when that happens, the presence of God, we always show the grace of God in you. People will see you, they will see the glory of God in you. And the name of God will always be proclaimed through your name in the mighty name of Jesus. Again, because before you can be chosen, you need to be teachable. You need to be flexible. You need to recognize when you derail. If your destiny, like those two examples I gave at the beginning, you know that God said you are going to be a medical doctor. Maybe when you are at the primary school, this message has come. And by the time you are selecting your subject, you decide to go for commercial subject. Have you not derailed? You have derailed. But God can still bring you back. That is why sometimes we pray. We don't go on a journey of 2,000, let me make it simple. A journey that's supposed to be within rule we hear. Somebody is coming to Lulu. That's it, Lulu. He first traveled to Sib. Make a U-turn. He started from here. Make a U-turn from Sib. Then go through this side. Go to Matra. Then turn back. What am I saying here? Don't delay your destiny. Follow the right path. When you follow the right path, no matter how it is, you will get to where you are. And when you follow the wrong way, you only delay it. And what is the right path, children? The right path is who? The path of God. God bless you. Amen? So, you have to be teachable and flexible. If you look at the life of David, he faces many challenges. To succeed and survive, he was teachable and flexible. Example of this is that he admitted that he was wrong and repent most time, all the time. He will agree, okay, it's wrong, and repent. Like when he had cut off part of Saul's robe, or when he was going to kill Nabal, he left room for God to intervene. And that altar is part. Because he knew that God has stepped in. Sometimes when you are going the wrong path, some spirit will be telling you, this is wrong, this is wrong, that is wrong. So you need to have the signing spirit that lets you realize that, yes, you are moving away from the plan of God. And God will continue to guide us in Jesus' name. So he trusted God even when he was punished by God. Maybe your home cell leader has told you something. Because of that, you said, no, I'm never going to his house for home cell again. Or maybe in the church itself, you have been scrolled that, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Now, it may not be publicly, it may be privately that as a leader, the church authority has called you, why this, why that? And because of that, it's okay, if you don't see me in the church, maybe you come and be telling me this. No. God has purpose for you. God wants you to be in his house. He wants you to serve him. Be teachable, be flexible. And when you are being punished, don't rebel against God. Don't rebel in your heart. Because God sees your heart. At times, you may be called when the time was not even ripe. You see, the time, like that of David, it was not yet time because Saul was still ready, was still the king that time. It was not yet the time for him to fulfill that destiny. But God said to Samuel, go there and do that. Even Samuel was so afraid, was so scared that he said that Saul will kill me. But God teach him what to do. So at times, the call may be when the time was not right, but God will be preparing you that yes, this is what he wants you to do. The prophet Samuel, though old, was still able to travel and moving in to anoint David. And if you see, even that call was before the great battle of Goliath. That call to David was before that. Amen? So God knows that for some of you, The time is right for your destiny to be changed. God knows that it is time for your destiny to be fulfilled. The hour of anointing has arrived. God wants to restore you back. I don't know how far you have derailed. I don't know how far you have moving away from that path that God has for you. But today, this afternoon, God wants to bring you back to himself. He wants that destiny that he had for you. He wants that destiny to be fulfilled. He's ready to bring you back. The children of Israel, they traveled for 40 years. Instead of how many days? 40 days. God is ready right now. Begin to take that decision in your mind. Lord, this is what I've been dreaming. This is what destiny that you have for me. It must be fulfilled. If you say you know me before I was formed, if you say you have called me before I was formed, begin to tell God that, Lord, I want that destiny to be fulfilled in my life. And God will perfect it in Jesus' name. You might have disappointed God by your sin, by being moving away from the path. Saul disappointed him. He failed God. But at the same time, he remained the king of Israel, even though he has been rejected. He will not be replaced in Jesus' name. Because before his death, he was replaced. I don't know where your mind is now. I don't know where your heart is. Children of God, I want you to bring yourself back. That God, you have to anoint me. He is destiny changer. He will change that evil destiny that devil is trying to put on you. He will bring you back. God still has plans. No matter what happens, God still has plans for you. Just because Samuel failed or Saul failed didn't mean that God is finished with Israel. Just because you have sinned to God doesn't mean that the plan of God will never be fulfilled in your life. But there are terms and conditions. You need to come back to him. You need to bring yourself back to him. He has the listening here. He will listen to you. He still has work to do and to accomplish in your life. So, God is telling you to lay down your former season of doubt and fear. He's telling you that now. Lay down the former season of doubt and fear. He's ready to change your destiny for better. Amen? He is destiny changer. I believe God is saying right now, my child, it is time to change your destiny. To receive that fresh anointing for your destiny for better. Amen? I don't know what God is doing in your life today or what he has in plan for you tomorrow. Submit yourself to God. He will change that bad situation to better situation in the mighty name of Jesus. And that better situation will become best in the mighty name of Jesus. If you are down, believe that you must reach the goal that God has for you. But you need to submit. You need to think over where you have gone wrong. Submit yourself to him. He is inviting you today to enter into relationship with him. A good relationship with him. A relationship that he can always see your heart every second. You know the plan he has for you. Plan to do what? To bless you. Hallelujah. So he's inviting you today to enter in that relationship by accepting Christ as your Savior. You need to accept Christ as your Savior. I know this also that God is going to do something wonderful in your life. You may not see it. You may not feel it. You may not even believe it. All you have to do is to have faith this afternoon. Don't resist his leading, but respond today by making humbling yourself before God. Surrender yourself to him. Make yourself available to him. Your destiny shall be changed in the mighty name of Jesus. The question is, what is happening when God changed your destiny? Because God is involved in your situation. Sometimes Pastor was saying the other day, people praying, God, give me child, give me children, give me child. And when you have these children, you use them as an excuse to even come and fellowship in the house of God. Don't change the purpose of God for you. In that promise of the week, which is coming from the Message version, Amos 9, verse 19. What am I saying here? That when God changed that destiny, when he brings you back to that promise that he has for you, when God brought you back to that purpose that he has created you for, Amos is saying, I want in a Message version. What Amos is saying, because you are already on the right path. Because you are already on the right path. And the moment you fall on the right path, what is going to happen? Things are going to happen so fast. Your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the others. Everything will be happening at once. Why? Because you are on the right path that God wants you to be. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessing, blessing. Amen? Blessing like wine pouring off the mountain and hills. And see what he said. And he said he's going to make everything right for you. Hallelujah. Destiny changer. Destiny changer. Come, choir, help me. My destiny, choir. Destiny today. Come on, change my destiny. Let's be on our feet. Destiny today. You are the destiny changer. Destiny changer. Come and change our destiny today. Come and change our destiny today. Destiny changer, you are the destiny changer. Come and change our destiny today. Come and change my destiny today. Destiny changer, you are a destiny changer. Come and change my destiny today. Come and change my destiny today. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. You are the miracle working God. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. You are the miracle working God. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. God, your name is Yahweh. I want you to quickly talk to God for 1 minute and say, God, you are the destiny changer. I've derailed. I've gone into sin. Have mercy upon me and forgive me. Restore me back to your path in the mighty name of Jesus. Begin to pray. Restore me back to your path in the mighty name of Jesus, because I want to see everything happening fast in my life in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Our Father in heaven, we want to bless you for your message this afternoon. We give you all praises and adoration. We lift your name and we glorify you, Lord. Thank you for your word that you have shared for us. Thank you for the brethren. Thank you, Lord, that you will restore us back into your path in the mighty name of Jesus. And the promise you have made for us from the beginning shall be fulfilled in Jesus' name. As we have heard your word today, it is not the story, it is not the analysis, but the issue is that we want you to restore us back to your path so that everything will be happening good and fast in your path. Father, restore us back in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we go into our various homes now, Father, we pray that your presence shall go with us in Jesus' name. When we come back next week, it shall be testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. And once again, we remember those that have traveled. We use pastor as point of contact, that the presence of God will always be with them in Jesus' name. And for those of you that will be traveling this week, that God will go ahead of you in Jesus' name. And we remember our weekly program and the rest of our program for this year, that God Almighty will perfect it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. Once again, I bless you. I bless the presence of God in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. The Spirit of God that will restore you back to the path of the Lord will always reside in you in Jesus' name. Go in peace and come back with testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Shall we joyfully share the grace together in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, God's goodness and mercy all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you and do have a wonderful week ahead.